Hello, it's Wednesday, May 31st, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, the black sheep of the alternative media. Before we get started today, a quick announcement. Tonight I'm going to appear on Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll. The topic is going to be the death of the 60s. And then tomorrow we're going to have some alternative media updates. And Friday we're going to have on Mr. Mark Glenn to talk about the release of his new book called Hear No Evil, which is phenomenal. Very, very well done. But today, as we mentioned yesterday, we're going to talk about something that's becoming known as Iraq's Mille Massacre. And this took place in 1968, where about 500 civilians were slaughtered. And I know a lot of people listening today are too young to remember this, so if you're not familiar with what the Mille Massacre is, Lisa's going to give you a quick synopsis.
Okay, March 16th, 1968, Charlie Company, 11th Brigade, entered the Vietnamese village of Mille. The superior officers told those troops, search and destroy. The Viet Cong had been deeply entrenched in the area and surrounding areas, and numerous numbers of Charlie Company had been killed and maimed in the preceding weeks. The commanding officer of this brigade was Lieutenant William Calley. Calley and his men entered the village poised for engagement. As the search and destroy mission unfolded, it generated into a massacre of over 300 apparently unarmed civilians, including women, children, and the elderly. Calley ordered his men to enter the village firing, though there had been no report of opposing fire. According to eyewitness reports, several old men were bayoneted, praying women and children were shot in the back of the head, and at least one girl was raped and then killed. Calley was said to have rounded up a group of the villagers, ordered them into a ditch, and mowed them down in a fury of machine gun fire. Word of the atrocities didn't reach the American public until November 1969, when Seymour Hersh wrote an article detailing conversations with a Vietnam veteran, Ron Ridenour. Before speaking to Hersh, Ridenour had appealed to Congress, the White House, and the Pentagon to investigate this matter. The military investigation resulted in Calley's being charged with murder in September 1969, 2 months before the Hersh story hit the streets. Serious questions arose about the soldiers' conduct in Vietnam. A military commission investigation found widespread failures of leadership, discipline, and low morale among the Army's fighting units. At his trial, Calley testified that he was ordered by Captain Ernest Medina to kill everyone in the village of Mille, and not enough available evidence surfaced to convict anybody but Calley of the murder. He was sentenced to life in prison, but he was released in 1974 following many appeals. And after being issued a dishonorable discharge, Calley entered the insurance business.
So that's the Mille Massacre, 1968. Let's jump ahead now. November 19th, 2005. A little village in Iraq called Haditha has a population of 90,000 people. It's located on the Euphrates River, about 140 miles northwest of Baghdad.
And it's in western Iraq.
Right. What took place is being described as something much worse than Abu Ghraib. Some are even calling it outright murder. And here's what happened. On November 19th, there was a military command unit traveling along the roadside when a bomb exploded alongside their convoy. One Marine was killed, a gentleman named Miguel Terrazas. And what happened next now is really the subject of the controversy.
Yeah, because it sounds very, very eerily similar to what happened in Mille back in 1968.
Right, and you'll see some of the similarities as we go through this, especially, we warn you, the gory details, because they are very reminiscent of what Lisa just covered. So, after this happened, the Marines came out with their first story. Okay? They said that 15 civilians were killed in the bombing along with Miguel Terrazas. That's story number one. That when this roadside bomb went off, 15 Iraqi civilians were killed. Then they changed their story and said that no. These civilians had instead died in a gun battle. It was because of the crossfire between the troops
and insurgents.
So this is the way the story stood until March of 2006. So 4 months passed when there was a video that surfaced from an amateur Iraqi journalist who gave it to Time magazine.
Right. And apparently this interview was with a survivor of one of the homes that Marines invaded after these civilians were killed on the roadside. They went into two homes and shot everyone dead in the two homes. Everyone except for 12-year-old Safa Yonis, who was and all her family was killed.
Right.
And she described in the interview what happened.
Right. Inside the home from the video, you see blood stains, you see bullet holes, and you see shrapnel marks inside the house. Now, there are, it looks like, two different households that got slaughtered. There was one girl, her name was Iman Hassan. She was 10 years old, and she watched the Marines kill her mother, her father, her grandmother, her grandfather, her 4-year-old cousin, and two of her uncles. A second family, there were 5 children killed, including a 2-year-old baby and a 3-year-old baby. It's awful, absolutely awful what happened. And there's a guy named Mohammed Basit who relayed this account to Americans later. And this is his account. These are his exact words. We'd like everyone to hear them. The blood was everywhere in Salim's bedroom. This must have been one of the family members where this slaughter took place. The blood was everywhere in Salim's bedroom. I saw organs and flesh on the ground and a liver on the bed. Blood splattered the ceiling. The bullet holes were in the walls and in different parts of the house. We found an unexploded grenade in the bathroom, which had been set on fire. Then he started describing the corpses. He said they were all shot. Even the kids, they were shot more than one time, mostly in the chest and in the head.
In the Yonis family house, 12-year-old Safa Yonis pretended to be dead, which spared her life. She described what happened when the American soldiers came up to the house. They knocked at the door. My father went to open it. They shot him dead from behind the door, and then they shot him again after they opened the door. She describes hearing the Marines go through the rest of the house, shooting and setting off a grenade before getting to the bedroom where she was with her mother and siblings. And then she says, one American soldier entered and shot them all. I pretended to be dead, and he did not know about me. So really, our troops are now liberating Iraqis from life.
Right. Many of these people were shot at close range, in the head and in the chest, execution style. There was also one mother and daughter in their night clothes who were bent over on the floor as if in prayer.
Right.
That were shot dead. The rampage is said to have lasted anywhere from 3 to 5 hours, and it took place 4 hours after the initial roadside bombing. So it wasn't something that was just spur of the moment. It happened 4 hours after the bombing that killed the one Marine.
Right. In both of these scenarios, the Vietnam Mille massacre and the Haditha massacre, you have angry, frustrated troops. Remember, preceding both of these events were deaths of soldiers, American soldiers. In Mille, many soldiers had been maimed and killed by the Viet Cong in the preceding weeks. And on the same day of the Haditha massacre, we had Lance Corporal, I believe he was a Lance Corporal, Terrazas, Miguel Terrazas. He was killed. So this is right before this massacre happened. And the soldiers, if you can imagine their mindset, were very upset and very angry.
And what we're going to do is get to some of the reasons why this took place, the mindset of these soldiers. But we also want to say that one woman who died, or no, this was a gentleman, I'm sorry. One man was allowed to bleed to death in front of the Marines while his pleas for help were ignored for hours. Also, in fairness to this Marine Corps, the fatal shots, by all best estimates, were only fired by a few Marines, what they're calling a 4-man fire team. So this wasn't the entire outfit that was doing it. At most, probably 4 did the majority of the damage.
Yeah, it was a small convoy.
But here's where it gets even worse. This was obviously unprovoked murder. That's bad enough, okay? But then we start getting now to the cover-up.
Yeah, but, you know, ask yourself this too. What are events like this doing to your children, to your sons, to your daughters? Two of the Marines that were ordered to go into that scene, into that crime scene, to clean up the corpses, and were ordered to photograph the crime scene, are traumatized by what happened there. They had their cameras confiscated by the Navy, and their parents are saying they're just devastated. These young soldiers are 20 and 21 years old. They had to go and photograph 23 Iraqi bodies and carry dead people out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is this doing to them?
Yeah, and this story hasn't even broke yet in the mainstream media. About 2 weeks ago, maybe a little less than 2 weeks ago, we saw an interview with Donald Rumsfeld. And he said this is very, very serious. This isn't something that's going to be dismissed. And when you have the defense secretary saying that something's very serious, you know it's not going to be swept under the rug. So, we have this bloodbath, this slaughter. And instead of coming out and telling the truth about what happened, what did the Marines do? They lied about it. First of all, they said the dead bodies resulted from this ordnance blast beside the road. Then they said that they were killed in the crossfire between the troops and the insurgents. Both stories, by all accounts, are lies.
Right, because forensic tests done inside the homes show that the bullets come from these military weapons.
Right.
And there was no opposing fire. After the initial explosion, after the initial bomb went off, there was no opposing gunfire.
Right. Now, as it stands now, about a dozen Marines are under investigation. And what they're saying is, as we said, nobody has fired on the Marines after this initial bomb blast. Nobody fired upon the Marines, okay? But there was no investigation until March of 2006.
Right.
4 months passed.
Well, I think it was when that Safa Yonis interview video
was
brought to Time magazine.
Now, the man who's really pushing this forward is Pennsylvania Democratic Congressman John Murtha, who's been around forever. His own home district is only about an hour or so.
And he's a former Marine.
Right, from where we live. And Michael Collins Piper has said on numerous occasions now that Murtha really has become the mouthpiece for the military. There's a lot of people in the Pentagon that aren't happy with what's going on in Iraq. They're not happy with how we got suckered into this war. They're not happy with the lies that are being told. And basically, Lisa, I was thinking about this morning. If you go back to the morning of 9/11, which this whole thing is predicated on, the lies of 9/11, after the towers were hit, after this stand down, blah, 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 who got blamed for everything? Well, the military got blamed for being incompetent, for being negligent, for having their heads up their asses because they didn't dispatch any fighter jets, when, of course, we know that this went much higher than just the regular brass in the Pentagon.
Right. So, showing that they're incompetent and there's failures in leadership and discipline in this instance sort of reinforces their initial story from 9/11.
Also, then, we have intelligence blamed for this. They should have known that these 19 Arab patsies were going to take over these planes and run them into the Pentagon and the World Trade Center towers. Well, we know all this is malarkey. It's a lie. It's a huge lie. And that's why there's so many contingents in the intelligence units and the military that hate what's going on with this government. This government because of all their lies. So John Murtha has kind of been officially appointed as their spokesman. And here's what he said about this updated Mille massacre in Iraq. He said, who covered it up? Why did they cover it up? Why did they wait so long? And he says, we want to know how far it goes. Because according to Murtha, it goes right up the chain of command. And he concluded by saying, I will not excuse murder. And this is what happened. So the cover-up didn't just stop with this unit that went in and did the slaying, did it? Because, of course,
no.
Reports were filed. It went up the chain of command. Right. And for 4 months...
And it got bottlenecked.
Right. It got bottlenecked. It got covered up. And did it go all the way up to Donald Rumsfeld? Nobody knows right now.
Look, they're still covering up the USS Liberty attack, and that went all the way up the chain of command, too.
Exactly. So we don't know how far it goes up. We don't know if it goes to Rumsfeld, but Murtha is saying that obviously the cover-up didn't stop or didn't start with these guys that went in there and killed the 24 Iraqi civilians. So right now, there's going to be two investigations. One is going to investigate the encounter itself.
Right.
And the second is going to investigate whether there was a cover-up.
Right.
Or not. So
I don't think we really need to have an investigation and hearings to show that there's a cover-up. It's obvious there's a cover-up, and it's obvious people got killed, it was unjustified, stories were changed, and people lied.
But see, there will be. There will be court hearings, and once
That's
this...
just stalling.
Once this breaks in the mainstream media, and you have the liberals go insane about it, this is going to be... As we said at the onset of the show, much worse.
And don't think this is an isolated, random incident because,
right.
you know, whatever happened to precision strikes and careful targeting, something dated today, May 31st, U.S.-led coalition forces shot to death two Iraqi women. One was pregnant today in their car after their car failed to stop at a checkpoint. Tensions have already been high enough because of the Haditha massacre last November, as if things weren't bad enough with that. The two women were driving to a maternity hospital when American troops fired on the car for failing to stop at the checkpoint. The pregnant woman was about to give birth. We're liberating Iraqis from life.
Right. And if anyone's been going to the Wing TV homepage and looking at the news updates for the last few days, they'll see that there's riots taking place in Afghanistan right now. Well, it seems like a U.S. tank mowed into a congregation or there was some type of vehicular accident. Five people were killed. The military said this took place because the brakes failed on the tank. Did the brakes fail? We don't know. But we do know that the Marines and Haditha said that originally the civilians died because of a car bombing. That was a lie. Then they said they died because of a firefight. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
They lied about 9/11. They lied about Abu Ghraib.
They lied about Pat Tillman.
They lied about Pat Tillman. They lied about Jessica Lynch.
Right.
They lied about the anthrax scares. They've lied about everything. And now they're lying about this too until the video surfaced. If this video hadn't surfaced...
They wouldn't have even brought it up.
Right, it would have been swept under the rug. So, right now, there are three Marines who are facing criminal charges. This is all preliminary. Three of them facing criminal charges and, Lisa, possibly death sentences if found guilty. Then there are nine others who, if found guilty, could face a court-martial. Okay, so that's where it's standing now.
Remember William Calley from Vietnam? He got sentenced to a life in prison. He served 5 years and got out on appeal and ended up going into the insurance business. He ordered an entire village massacred.
Right. And this went up higher than him, though. I mean, this wasn't just William Calley.
But this is the point. They get away with these things time and again. History keeps repeating itself.
Yeah. And if we look at Abu Ghraib, who took the fall for this? Some of the lowest ranking grunts there were. And by all accounts, this went way up, much higher than these grunts. But what the military does is they throw a few pieces of meat out there. They're patsies, they're fall guys, whatever. And when we look at the video, there was shot at Haditha. We see that on the houses where these massacres took place, no external marks on the houses. That means there was no firefight. There was no crossfire. This was all done inside the house. And it's bad enough that they did it, but then they have to lie about it too. It's lie after lie after lie. And
if that little girl had not survived, they would probably be home free.
That's right. And
that little girl lived.
I was talking to a woman this morning. She's 70 years old. And we heard something about it on the news. And she says, what's going on over there? what's going on over there in that place? I says, well, you remember yesterday, don't you? Yesterday here in Pennsylvania, we broke the record for that date in history as being the hottest day ever. It was hot as hell. Mm-hmm. There was no air, no wind, and in the upper 90s, it was a stagnant death heat.
It was a sauna.
Now, over in Iraq, magnify that by another 20 or 25 degrees, okay? These guys are
wearing... Day in and day out.
Day out. They're wearing thick, heavy uniforms. They're carrying guns and backpacks.
The sand.
They have helmets on. And, to make it even more pleasant, when they're driving along in their Jeeps, all of a sudden, a bomb could blow up alongside the road. Or they could be walking through the street of a village, and gunfire could break out. They could see their best friend slain in front of them.
The landscape is colored with splatters of blood.
20-year-old kids, 21-year-old kids, okay? They're frustrated.
How do you think your kids are going to be if they make it home? How do you think they're going to be psychologically?
Right. They're frustrated. There's no end in sight. Everything we hear from George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld, he'll say, oh, we're going to start pulling troops out by the end of 2007. And then the next day, well, this is perpetual war. We don't know how long. We're going to stay there until the mission is over.
No, this is a mountain of lies based upon a mountain of lies.
Right. These kids, these military men, are in an alien culture. They're in Iraq. They're in a desert.
And they have to follow orders unquestioningly, even if the order is wrong. If it's murder, unjustifiable murder.
Yeah, and they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the strategy. They don't understand why when their term of duty is over, some of them get sucked back in and they have to have another tour of duty.
And I bet a lot of them don't understand how any of this is supposed to liberate the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people, to win them over.
Right. Plus, a lot of them are reservists.
Right.
They went in there, they signed
right.
up.
They wanted college.
They wanted free college and the benefits, and they thought, oh, you know, we'll go play G.I. Joe once every 6 weeks
and
down at the...
from the school of life.
Then all of a sudden, they open up their mailbox, and here's a letter saying, in 6 weeks, we're going to dump you over in this godforsaken desert in Iraq.
I'm still waiting for George Bush's daughters to get their asses over there.
Yeah. So to kind of imagine what it's like, a few nights ago, we watched a movie called The Deer Hunter. And for some reason, we had missed ever seeing this movie. It starred Robert De Niro, Meryl Streep, Christopher Walken. And it started off in a little Pennsylvania town where there was a wedding. And then the day after, the three of the main guys in the wedding, including the groom, were dumped or dropped over in the jungles of Vietnam. Well, as this movie was going on, I told Lisa, I says, I don't know. And luckily I was too young. You know, in the late 60s, I would have been 6 or 7 years old. I was too young to go. But I said, I can't imagine being 18 or 19 years old, being in a helicopter, and they dump you in this desert in Southeast Asia.
Why do you think so many of our Vietnam veterans, if they did make it home, they've been shattered emotionally, psychologically, and they're still shattered? This has affected them to this day.
Oh, throughout their life. And I know vets right now. I see them a couple times a week. And they function all right in society. They have jobs. They can make it from day to day.
But a lot of them don't.
But even the ones that do function, Lisa,
they're scarred.
You can look in their eyes and you can see that something's not quite right.
Because they're traumatized.
Yeah. And the things that happened in this movie were unbelievable. And you don't have to only watch The Deer Hunter. You know, you can watch any of these other movies like Platoon,
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket, and any of a number of Vietnam era or even World War II movies, Korea era movies. And you'll see the hell of this war.
It's horrific.
And there were scenes in there where these guys were taken prisoner, all three of them. And they were in these cages underneath a pier, or underneath like a little floating house, and they were in a cage. And what they would do is open up a trap door in the floor, pull one of them up, and force them to play Russian roulette with themselves.
And there were rats in the water.
Rats in the water.
They were getting chewed on.
And all the soldiers around them were betting on whether the one bullet in the chamber would be the one that blows the guy's head off. So you'd see him there, they'd be shaking uncontrollably. And they'd be slapping him in the face if they didn't want it. And finally they'd put it up to their head, click, no bullet. And they'd live. So they got to live to be thrown back into this under this...
They only lived if the bullet chamber was empty.
Right.
Because somebody ended up dying with every round of this Russian roulette.
Yeah.
At some point, one of the two players got his head blown off.
Right, and then you'd hear it. All the other guys down in this watery cage, they'd hear this, and they'd know right then that the guy just got pulled up, had the bullet in the chamber, and blew his brains out, and he's laying now, and the blood was actually dripping through the cracks in the floor, and there are rats in there, and the one guy... He actually had the bullet in the chamber, but he jerked at the last minute, and instead of it going straight through his temple, it crossed the top of his head. And you can see, like, part of his head just blown off. And this is war. And if you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see an article called The Iraqi Melee Massacre. And in the last sentence, I say, we've been doing this for 4,000 years now.
Yeah.
Why? We haven't progressed even one iota from what people were doing 4,000 years ago. Back then, they weren't using guns and submachine guns. They were, napalm. They were using sticks and rocks and clubs, but still, they were bashing each other's heads in. And this Deer Hunter movie, it ends up, one of the guys commits suicide playing Russian roulette. The other guy gets shipped back to America, no legs.
Right.
And he's in one of these veterans hospitals, VA hospitals, living a crap life. And the other guy comes back with all his limbs. But you can see, he's like one of the guys that I mentioned. That's Robert De Niro's character. He'll end up getting a job and making it through life. But there's always going to be something distant, something remote, something wrong with him. And it's because the world's rich are sending their poor people to fight the poor people of another rich sector of the world.
So not just fight, to kill them.
To kill them.
And I wonder about that 12-year-old Safa Yonis. How is this girl making out now? She saw her entire family wiped out.
Yeah, mother.
And had to pretend to be dead herself in order to survive. And I guess by the grace of God, she is alive. But what kind of life does she lead now?
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting now to see, because when you listen to mainstream talk radio, and these guys on the right, and they're already, they're pussyfooting around it, but they're already saying things like, what's wrong with John Murtha? Why did John Murtha turn so bad? Well, John Murtha turned bad by wanting the truth. That means wanting the truth is bad. And we get the same thing here, Lisa, at Wing TV. And we're going to talk about this tomorrow. We tell the truth about the scumbags in this alternative media, and we get called bad for telling the truth.
Yeah. The truth cannot hurt or destroy a truth movement or any kind of movement founded in truth. The truth isn't going to make the world a worse place than it already is. You know what damages the world and damages the truth movement? When you hide the truth, when people don't tell the truth.
Exactly. And when we come out with these exposés, we're saying, guess what, folks? You've been lied to yet again. And a lot of people are getting it, Lisa. A lot of people are getting it. But there's still a few of the brain-dead zombies that'll worship at the altar of these heroes, these supposed heroes that are doing nothing but ripping them off, lying to them, and engaging in the same kind of deplorable actions as the government and the mainstream media do. But we're the bad guys for telling the truth.
Well, I got an email from Tom Baier.
Yep.
We've talked about him on our show before. He sends around a lot of this disinfo crap that we see on the Rents website and many other websites. He asked me, why? Why did you have to write about Rents?
Yeah.
And just it almost in tears, it seemed like. And I said, what are you asking me why for? You've been listening to what I had to say for years. He was in the chemtrail tracking group with me 4 years ago. And I said, you can't have versions and shades of the truth. There's only one version of the truth.
Yeah.
And the rest is not truth. And if you're willing to settle for a half-truth or a partial truth, you know, that's you. But I'm not willing to.
Right.
I'm not willing to settle for that. It's not acceptable.
Yeah, so it's wrong for the government to lie. It's wrong for the mainstream media to lie. But it's not wrong for people in the alternative media to lie that say they've been in the mainstream media business for 12 years, and then we find out it's not quite true. It's wrong for the mainstream media to censor articles, but it's all right for the alternative media to censor articles, and on. So we're going to cover this more in depth tomorrow. But the thing to go away with today is keep your eyes open, because this story, I'm hearing anywhere from in the next week to 2 weeks, it's going to break big. And we want to see how the powers that be deal with it. How the left deals with it, how the right deals with it.
How the media spins it.
Yep, how the White House comes out and speaks about
it. The bottom line is, it was murder. It was unjustified. It's not the first time it's happened. I'm sure it won't be the last time. And it's total madness. And we need to stop this madness.
Right. And on top of it, to add insult to injury, they lied after they did it and tried to cover it up. Who knows how high it went, but I'll say one thing right now. John Murtha isn't the bad guy in this scenario.
No.
And those that come out and say he is, they have either a very twisted, sick agenda, or they're drinking the Kool-Aid and getting paid to say this kind of nonsense.
What happened to all the people in this world who tell the truth? Where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you?
When we came into this alternative media years ago, we thought these are finally the people that will do anything for the truth. They crave the truth more than breath itself. And guess what? Most of the people in this movement don't give a damn about the truth, or they're not fighting for the truth. And I just emailed someone before the show and said, if you don't care about this stuff, go back to the mainstream media. Go back and worship your government, because that's precisely and exactly what they want you to do. They don't want you to fight for the truth. And that's what we're doing here. That's what John Murtha is doing. And it's an ugly, ugly scene.
I'm totally disgusted. I'm totally disgusted.
Right. Tonight, if you're around 6 o'clock Eastern Time, Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll, there's a link on the Wing TV homepage. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the alternative media. Friday, Mark Glenn. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.